But dear people, as we come to the Word of God this morning, I'm going to chart a new course. I want to preach on some doctrinal issues, and the main issue will be the doctrine of salvation. I want to focus the Word of God on this biblical doctrine. I am sure that all of you here agree that salvation is the work of God in the heart of sinners, performed by God with the use of the Word and the Spirit. But I know, and we know, that there's some outside that believe salvation starts in the heart of man by man. But that is not what the Scriptures teach us. The reason why I picked this very route to go, I have five reasons which has caused me to take this particular track. First of all, we are a Formed Baptist church, and we subscribe to the biblical doctrines that have been hammered out and produced by London, England over 300 years ago. And these doctrines have been the confession of faith of Calvinistic Baptist churches throughout. Those biblical truths that have been drawn out of the Bible have become a profession of faith of Reformed Baptist churches, and we have been produced, or excuse me, it has been produced in the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith and expressed as the things most surely believed among us. Secondly, we have new members and visitors that do not have the biblical theological foundation that this church was founded upon, though you have picked up some of these truths, no doubt, as we have gone through the preaching and teaching of the Word here. And therefore, some of you have not received a systematic teaching on biblical doctrines, which are the foundations of this church. Thirdly, the nation, is developing a dislike for the Christian church. And we must be able to stand on the Bible as we take the gospel into the world. There are many people out there, they believe they're preaching and teaching what Christ said, but they're far from the Scriptures. Fourthly, and sadly, Christianity in the United States is in constantly moving away from the biblical norms. And we must stand firm on the truth of the Bible. And then finally, those of you who have been taught the truths of the biblical heritage, which only begin a stronger conviction as we study these important issues once again. So it's not wrong for you to hear them a second time or third time, or how many times, because I know these things have been preached in the past. But it won't hurt for us to have, as we would call, a refresher course. I will use the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689 that has stood the test of time as an infallible document that clearly states the biblical doctrine of the Holy Scriptures. My plan is to focus on the section of the confession that deals with the foundation of those who come to Jesus Christ for salvation. My plan is to preach on the sections of the confession that deals with that salvation. Therefore, I will be focused upon the confession of faith in chapters 10 to 15, where the Reformers clearly laid out the operation of biblical salvation in the heart of sinners. This morning we will begin with chapter 10 of the Confession of Faith, which is an effectual calling. Now you can look in the back of your hymnal, and I believe you would need that to follow along with them. As we look at this, we can find that on page 676 in the back of your hymnal, we have chapter 10 of the Confession of Faith, and that's what we'll begin with. Now, the subject that I'm taking up today is the subject of salvation. What the Reformers did, they have this down, laid out in certain things that God is doing and what happens to the very life of the one who's being called to God. And so in chapter 6, we have the title of it is Of Effectual Calling. Follow along as I read this chapter, beginning in paragraph 1. Those whom God has predestined unto life, He is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature, to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills, and by his almighty power determining them to that which is good, and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ, yet so as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. And it goes on. Number two, the effectual call of God's free and special grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in man, not from any power or agency in the creature, co-working with his special grace, the creature being wholly passive therein, being dead in sins and trespasses until being quickened and removed by the Holy Spirit, he is thereby enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it, and that by no less power than that which raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And we'll look at the rest later. So I'm going to begin with basically the first part here. We see that what the reformers have given for us is indicating to us what salvation is. And first of all, they call it an effectual call. What they say here as they begin this, from these whom God has predestined unto life, he is pleased at his appointed and acceptable time effectually to call. We ought to look at those two words, first of all, and that'll be quickly. Here, the word effectually means producing or able to produce the desired effect. When God calls, he calls because he's going to do something, and he's able. His call is able to produce that which he, or the reason why he's calling. Calling itself is used in this way, means to summons, inner urging towards a second, enter or certain action. These two words state that God gives a call that reaches to the soul of man, and it produces the effect that he intended. You see from the start, they're saying here, when you look at salvation and from its beginning, it's something that starts and begins with man. There are seven things that are stated which he critical to the call of God to the sinner in this first paragraph here. We see there, he says, and notice, those whom God hath predestined into life, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time effectually to call by his word and the spirit. Now, seven things are mentioned here, and I'll pull out those seven things for us. He said, first of all, those who are called. Those whom God has predestined unto life. Predestined means to determine beforehand. What God has done here, he is the very one who has done the work that is necessary. He is the one that does what must be done for any sinner to be coming brought out of a life of sin and death into a new life in Jesus Christ. Predestined means to determine beforehand. Turn in Acts chapter 4. You notice how the writers of the scriptures show us the very truth of this. In Acts chapter 4, we find here that how the whole life comes upon any believer. And as we find in the scriptures here, the apostles, as they give it to us, notice, and I'll just turn to the chapter 4 and verse 27. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, only along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Peter is saying here that in this particular section or this particular purpose in life, what God was doing. Now, although they came against Jesus and his people, this was God's predestined plan. That's what he's saying there. This is not something that caught God off track. This is not something that God saw did, and he didn't know that they were going to do it. Peter says here, God is the one who foreordained that they should work this way. That's our word here, predestined. Notice, if you turn to Romans chapter 8, and we see how the apostle himself lays this out to the life of the believer and how they end. We looked at Romans 8 this morning. Look at verses 28 and 29. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. He's not looking out for somebody to look for him and ask him, take me, take me. No, God is looking for those who are dead in trespasses and sins. He has also called them, he's saying, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. These two words state what God is doing. And what God has done, he's called his own to himself. These are already determined by the plan of God, chosen before the foundation of the world. God himself says he is the one who chose them. People do not choose God to come to God unless God, first of all, begins to work on their hearts. Know what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. You need not turn there. He says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Here the apostle said, we were chosen before we were ever born. We belong to him. He had already cut out from the whole lot of humanity those who he would save. So it's not that you and I, we came to a church and we heard the preaching of the gospel and therefore we decided that we're going to go to Christ. No, that's not it. It is here he's saying, Paul is indicating, or our Baptist forefathers are saying, it is God's work and God's work alone. He says here, not only do we have, number one, who the called are, we have also the author of the call. It is God. Here it is clear that the author of the call is God the Father. A strong statement is given concerning God and the plan of salvation of the sinners. Salvation of a sinner starts with God. The sinner does not move towards God. God moves towards him or her. As I read here in Ephesians 1 and 4, just as he chose us in him, meaning Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, dear child of God, you weren't even born. You know, we hear that statement that we says, you know, I knew you before you was a gleam in your mother's eye. And, you know, that's just some kind of silly talk. Nobody knew that because he couldn't see nobody. But God knew every one of his people that he were going to save before he said, let there be light. And this is what the Bible is teaching us. It's telling us it was predestined. The Bible teaches us that God is the one. He predestined unto life before the foundation of the world. The third thing we see here is, when does the call take place? Those whom God has predestined unto life, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time to effectually call him. Now, the reformers tell us that what God's done, nobody can hold God's hand and tell him what to do. Nobody can cause God to say, no, don't save this or that one. He goes by his own plan. He's doing what he desired to do and not what we desire to do. And this is the thing we have to see and understand about God and what he's doing. But we know this truth, Señor. That call, he says, and what he does it according to his own plan. Notice in John 3, I'll just read it for you. You need not turn there. John 3 and chapter 8. And we find that here as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he says, the winds blow where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You cannot put a time on when it's going to happen. Nobody can say, you know, I'm praying to God to be saved, and he's going to save me right now. We don't know. This is the biblical truth, and this is what it shows to us and how it's working out. This call is not speaking of the general call of the gospel, which goes out even to unconverted people. They hear it, but they don't respond for it because they cannot. This is delivered in the preached word of God. But the inward effectual call of God is a call of salvation to all who Christ died for and which is to be given to him. Matthew 22 and 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. And here is the very thing that God Christ has shown us, and the word of God tells us that the call comes powerfully. And this is the very thing that Paul says, and he says it again. I won't have you turn to these texts, so I'll read them to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what does Paul says to the church? But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. People think us foolish. We foolish now today, don't they? Well, you follow a God who talked about he went to the cross and he died. And I want to hear that joke. Same thing then. This is what Paul is saying. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It is God, he's saying, that he's the one who's calling. It is an effectual call. It goes out and does what it intended to do. It does not fall short. No one that God himself has in eternity past marked out for salvation missed salvation. No one. Everyone that he was intended to save, he will save. And also, what does he say here? It gives us, now it says, if you still have your book open, at least you can look to it. It talks about now the means of the call. How does he call? What does he use to call? And he says here, it's by his word and spirit. By his word and spirit. The confession makes it clear that there are two divine elements that produces the effectual call in a sinner. First of all, the word, which is the word of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why he called you. He calls sinners out of their darkness and their sinful life to bring them into the kingdom of his dear Son, that they may gain, that they may get what they don't have, and they get what they need, because God is a God of eternity. And dear people, everything that God made as far as humanity is concerned, it will last for eternity. So our call is don't have just a look and a purpose for it right here and now, but it even goes further than that. It was for this reason he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus. James 1 and 18, he says, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Peter says in 1 and 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. You see, people, that's why a church has to stand on the truth of the Bible. There are many people out there giving you all kinds of things, thinking that you must believe. And if you hear these things, you will believe it, and basically you'll go and be with God. You'll be with Christ. Listen to the TV sometime, these preachers and all these so-called false teachers in there. They give you everything in the world, but they don't give you what God says in his word. And this is what we need to see. If we're going to talk about salvation, the calling, we must go to the word of God. And here, and that's the very thing we understand. So Peter says, if our confession says, what are the means of the call? The word and the spirit. We see the word, and it's the spirit. The confession makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is the agent that operates in the soul of the elect. The work of God in the life of his elect is carried out by the Holy Spirit. Turn to John chapter 3. You know this already, but just as a reminder as we're looking at this issue right now, John chapter 3. Notice what Jesus, as he's talking to Nicodemus, you know what he goes to with him. He tells him, a man must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can that happen? And then Jesus answered him. Look at verse 5 in John chapter 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus is making it clear here that he is speaking to Nicodemus, and he's speaking of more than just a religion. Remember, Nicodemus was a religious man. Jesus was one who followed the Jewish religion also. But the new thing was coming because he was a new Messiah that was coming. And he says now, he lets it know, it is the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless by the Spirit. But notice, look at verse 6 as he goes on. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so therefore, the really things that need to take place, as he's saying here, there must be a spiritual birth. Without spiritual birth, no one can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And people do not birth themselves spiritually. It has to be done by God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 6, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. He's saying here, God himself, by his Spirit, brings to the heart that nothing else can bring to it. And that is faith and love in Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in God and who he is. That can only happen by the work of the Spirit. So he says the word, one thing God used, it is his Bible we have to come to hear. And it's the Spirit himself who opens up the word in order that we may be able to understand it. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 3, who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Here it's clear that all has to be done by God. The word must come. The word is heard, but the word is the very thing that God uses, and it'll come into the hearts of a sinner. And then it's the Spirit. He does the work in the heart and cause things to come. For now this person who is a sinner and dead believes now and hears because God is working in him. You see, the Bible doesn't tell us to do the work to become saved. The Bible tells us that we have to recognize that we are sinners and we're on the way to hell. We must plead that God would be merciful and save us. It is clear that the word and the spirit together are the means of effectual call. True biblical salvation is produced in the soul of man by the combination of these two elements. The word also cannot save, no matter how well someone may know the Bible, if the Holy Spirit does not operate in his or her heart. The person is still dead and will go to their grave dead. How many today pick up the Bible and they read it? And they say, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And you listen to them, you scratch your head. Or either you do like some people, anathema, get him out of here. He can read it. And he can even sit under preaching. But unless the Spirit works, nothing takes place. It's the Spirit. But then our confession also goes on. It says that there's a transition involved in the effectual call. There's a transition. The confession states that a change takes place in the life of those who are effectually called by the Word and the Spirit. It puts it this way. He is pleased, that is God, effectually to call by his word and spirit out of the state of sin and death in which they are by nature to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. You know, there's a problem with people in the world today. They think that they're all right the way they've done. They look at maybe their bringing up. They look at their family and everything they got there. And as far as the world's standards is, they think that they're fine, they're good. And some of them really think to that element, they don't even need a savior. They don't even need to go to church. They don't need a religion or anything. But the thing is that they don't see that they're in a state of sin. They are under death. They are under God's wrath. And no matter how much he allows them to maintain or come to get in this world, they're still under that death and they're going to die. So the reformers are saying to us that call comes and it takes the sinner out of death, that natural death that he's in, to grace and salvation in Jesus Christ. And so we can say there's a call out of and into something else. That is just as clear as can be in it. How can we say we love Christ Jesus, or how can we say that, yeah, and we still remain to be and do the things that we did before we were saved? Not according to the Bible. Now, according to man, that may be all right. And when I say the things we do, I'm talking about sinful acts which cause us to have the joy in life and those things which we lived for and those things that we found all the glory and pleasure in. But we know they are different and they're outside of what the Bible even tells a nominal Christian you shouldn't do. Most people in the world have said, if you want to believe in a God, we do believe there are sins according to your God, and that's actually idea. But he doesn't faze me. I'm not changing my life. I'll continue to live and go the way I'm going. But there's a transition involved. He is, me and God, pleased effectually to call by his word and spirit out of the state of sin and death in which they are by nature into a world of grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Apart from God, that's what your state was. Wicked sinners were in that state, apart from God. But God changed that. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he says, this is the very thing that has happened. Paul says in Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. Paul speaks of Jesus Christ and the work he has done to effect salvation for his elect. Speaking of Jesus says in 2 Timothy, Paul speaking of Jesus says in 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Jesus Christ for all eternity. Now, Paul makes it clear, the Bible makes it clear, who has saved us not according to our works. We didn't do anything that God looked at us and said, well done, I think I'll make you one of my special ones and call you to myself. No, that's not it. There's nothing that God saw in any one of us that merited salvation. And I've heard this kind of talk in the early in my walk with Christ, is that, you know, the Lord looked down and saw you doing something pretty good. He said, I think I'm going to take him. I don't find that. We don't find that in the Bible. His chosen was those that he did before the foundation of the world. Salvation is all of God. Nothing is accomplished by man. It's done by God and by God alone. And then the final thing we see in this part of our confession and how it all comes out is the operation involved in effectual callings. Notice what he says as he look at this. Hey, look at me as I read this. He mentions a few things that take place. He says, okay, the fascia call, and in the middle of it, I'm picking up, enlightening their minds spiritually and saving to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills and by his mighty power, determining them to what that which is good and effectually drawing them to Christ Jesus, yet so as they may most freely come, being made willing by his grace. Here the confession focuses upon the spiritual change that takes place in the soul of the elect. Here's what happens. He said it clearly, understandingly, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God. And here's a wonderful thing to understand. When God begins to work on a sinner, truly work and call a sinner, he begins to change the very outset and the very thinking of that person, not only in their mind and what they read on the papers, but inwardly also. The Spirit now begins to set things in order where you have read these things before. You looked at the Bible. You probably grew up around the Bible. But now you hear something the way you never heard it before. That is the enlightening work of the Holy Spirit. That's him doing what needs to be done. Him working on each and every one so that they would understand what God is doing and what God actually brings to birth in a sinner. In the book of Acts, we find that very idea comes forth in us as we look at Acts chapter 26. I'll read it for you in verse 8 here. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ spoke to Paul, and he said to him, this is why he's sending Paul, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Jesus is saying, as he spoke to Paul there, people are caught in the realm and in the chains of darkness and the devil. And I'm sending you out to give them the gospel, that you may open their eyes. Now we know Jesus is not talking about these eyes on our head, but the eyes of the soul to understand and to see things that you never understood before. He said, this is what he's doing, so that they may turn from darkness. Jesus does not save people. They become members of the church and all that, but yet they're still in their darkness. They are not saved if that's the case. He says something really takes place, and that is that the person now is no longer the same. But this is all the work of God. This operations, you see now, he says this is what began. He began with their minds and their spirits, and that's what happened. And the second thing he says is taking away their hearts of stone and giving them a heart of flesh. Well, we read of the idea about a heart of stone and a heart of flesh. What is it really towards? You go back into the book of Ezekiel. I'm not going to turn there. But you realize that basically what happened, the heart of stone was a heart that was
against God.
Don't want to have anything to do with God. And then the Ezekiel, the prophecy, I'll take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Then you will walk in my ways and keep my commandments. And this is the very thing. The promise is to renew this one who now was under the very work of God and what God is doing, that he is going to give them a heart. And that means, dear people, not the thing that pumps blood in our bodies, but the whole inner being of man, the soul of man. He's going to be different from now on in. He's going to now, because of who he is on the inside, he's been totally changed. He now can serve God, and he loves God. And here is the very thing that we need to understand. And basically, Jesus says that also, too. And he says that even when he's speaking to Nicodemus. And he says in chapter 3, and verse 37, I'm sorry, chapter 6 and verse 37, he says to them, basically here, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. This is what's going to happen. God is working in the hearts, their renewed wills, and their will is going to be now turned towards the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to be those standing afar off, not having anything to do with Christ, but they will be now looking to come to Christ. And so this is what he says. But there's a fourth thing that he says here as a part of the operation. And by his almighty power, determining them to that which is good, effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. And again, the same verse in 37, the 6th chapter of John. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Jesus saying the change in the soul of man, he may not even understand what he's going through, but the change is going to cause him to come to Christ. And that was the very thing that would happen. And he would now want Christ more than anything. And that is what he's saying. But also he closes this out in this first one. Yet so as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. Sometimes you talk to people, you know, yeah, you know you should be saved. And so, yeah, I get why you're saying that, so-and-so, you know. You know, I come to church, so. But do you really have a desire to be new in Christ Jesus? Well, in most cases, that is not the state. Our children have been made to come to church. They came up through Bible school, you know, Sunday school and everything and all that. And they sung the hymns. They did everything. But they had no changed hearts. And when they became the teenage age, and most of them are all gone. They're in the world. Nothing really happened inside. Though they sat under preaching, and though they sat under good teaching, opened up the Bible, remembered Bible verses, it didn't do any good. Jesus said, again, as we said, it's by the word and the Spirit. Yet as so they come most freely, being made willing. Oh, when a person has heard the gospel and heard it in their heart, not just the hearing in the ear, but also the grace of God by the Spirit of God working on their souls, they want that gospel. They want it more than anything. And God's got them there because this is what our confession of faith is telling us, that it is God who does this. And this work of salvation is something that he does. And we find it and as we say, these of them go through, it's effectual calling. It begins with God calling the sinner out of death into light. What we are taught here is that salvation is all of God. There is nothing here that indicates the sinner has any part in the beginning work of salvation in his heart or her heart. All the work that changes the life of the elect is done by the power of God. God tells us, and the Bible tells us, and even our a confession of faith tells us is that it is those who are the elect of God, meaning that they have been chosen by God and he is going to bring grace to them. He is going to do it. Nothing is going to stop that. All the work that changes a life and is a work that is done by the power of God. The individual has nothing to do with the process of his calling. He doesn't decide to be called. It is all the work of God from start to finish. No one decides to go to God for saving faith and to start a new spiritual life. Now, I must say, there may be some cases where the Holy Spirit is already working in the heart of somebody. They don't understand what is taking place. And I can understand this. I didn't understand what was taking place in me when it started. I didn't know what road I was going to go. But inwardly, I just knew I needed to go to church. Now, I was in the church long before that. But now, out of the church, I needed to go. I didn't know what was taking place. But you see, and that's what God does. God begins on the one that he's going to call according to his own plan and purpose and time. He breaks into the life. And he calls him. No one decides to go to God for saving faith and to start a new spiritual life. There are many people that choose religion. And they become wedded to their religions. Sad to say, there are many people who have caused the Christian religion to be just nothing but a horrible abuse of what the Bible really teaches. But that is not true salvation. No one will understand their lost, hell-deserving condition until God effectually calls them and changes their cold, stony hearts. Oh, as we've been dealing with people throughout, as pastors and other places throughout life, we can tell people when the Lord has got you and you're concerned deeply about your sins and who you are, and that's the work of God in your heart. And oh, dear people, as you know for yourself, when that work of God started in your heart, it didn't end until you were in him and loving and knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. We learn from this truth that sin has so ruined man that he is unable to even have a desire for salvation or love to God. God first does the spiritual work in his soul. And that is the work, you know, is sort of behind the scene. We ourselves sometimes don't know. I remember one of my fellow elders, you know, and what he said, he would tell people, you know, they would say, this is what I'm going through right now, you know, and he says, and it lines up with the script, he said, you know what, God got you on the operating table. And what he was saying about that, God's got you on the operating table. He's going to take out that old stony heart and give you a new heart. And there are people, that's the way all of us came. God worked with us. And sometimes it doesn't happen, you know, automatically and quickly. Remember Saul of Tarsus? That man, he wanted to destroy everyone who followed Christ and the church. He wanted to get rid of them. And so he wasn't even satisfied that they had left Jerusalem. He wanted to go out and gather them, bring them back to jail. Good God met him on the road to Damascus. Because he was God's elect. And Christ told him that. And that was a quick movement. Remember Paul, and he came into a city. And there were those that are around the sea praying. And Lydia, he was there. He began to speak. And he opened her heart that she received the gospel. Dear brethren, we can't tell God how to work. But we know from the truth of the Bible how he does work. He calls. And he calls by the word and the spirit. And he causes those who hear that he have elected in eternity past to hear that spirit. None that God planned to save will wind up in hell. They will be with him. None. You can't almost get saved. Either you're saved or you're not. Now, almost is man's preaching. Saved is God's preaching. And this is what we need to see. And as we think of this now, as we think of what we're doing right here, the effectual call, what is it? It puts salvation not in the hand of man, but in the hand of God. God is doing it all. And dear people, each one of you, nobody does for us. It makes us to stop and think right now. Have we really been called by God? Do we have and know, and we can say, yes, indeed, these things happened to me. He is pleased in his appointed time to acceptable time, effectually to call by his word and the spirit. Was it the word and the spirit that we saw truly brought me into a different state? That I now know that I'm not living the way I used to be. It is, as it goes on, did it take away a stony heart? What was the pre-BB or the pre-whoever? What was that? What kind of life was it? Is it the same life now? Then there's no change. Has he given me a new heart? Has he caused me to have a new will? And has he caused me to have a deep desire to live for his presence? And then each and every one of us, as we look at that and think that through, we can say, the Lord has done a mighty work in me. If anybody is on the process of that, if anything you heard just now from this, because here this is Bible doctrine, if you heard it and you say, that sounds like me, I'm not quite there yet, but that sounds like me. Oh, answer his call. Go to him, plead to him, cry to him. Because what God does when he calls, he also makes us to turn and desire him more than anything else in the world. Let us pray. Our blessed God in heaven, we ask you to help us as we even think through this truth of salvation. We live in a world, oh God, where we know the very Bible is real, and it is your word ordained by you, the Almighty God, given to men that we may be able to understand you and how to live for your very presence, but also to understand our hell deservedness because we came into the world as sinners. But Lord, your kindness and your blessing has been laid down upon us. Help us, O Lord God, to take ourselves away from all the things that with this body and this person will desire over you, that we may live to your glory. And help us, O Lord God, where we are on our very road of salvation, that you may help us to go even further. If there's some that even may be wondering now, have they really been, make it clear to them that they belong to you, the living God. Help us, O God, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.